ありがとうございます。それでは、今日のメッセージに移る前に一言主に感謝のお祈りをして、そして皆さんと共に目を留めてまいりたいと思います。Let us pray first. お祈りいたしましょう。愛する天の父なる神様、レントの第6回目の日曜日を迎えました。十字架に向かって行かれるあなたの姿、また十字架上でのあなたの姿に私たちは心を止めてまいりました。その中に言葉では表し尽くせない私たちへのあなたの思いとあなたの愛を私たちは学び、また知りました。主を心より感謝をいたします。主よ、どうぞイースターを前にして、今一度私たちがあなたの死に心を止め、そして心から喜びと希望を持って来週の日曜日にイースターを迎えることができますように、どうぞ今日の礼拝も最後まであなたの御霊を持って豊かに導いてください。どうぞこの語る者の口を、主よ、あなたが清めてくださって、あなたの言葉を語ることができますように助けてください。また今日ここに集えないお一人お一人を覚えます。主よ、どうぞそのような方々お一人お一人をあなたの御霊を持って慰め、また支えてくださいますように、すべてを感謝します。御手に委ね、愛する主イエスキリストの御名によって感謝してお祈りいたします。アーメン。 So, first of all, I just want to say welcome back, Hudons. I'm glad they were back here safely. And surprisingly, this year, so many people have already traveled to Japan, and many are going to Japan from now, right? I don't know. We are going to Japan as well, but I don't know. This year is like a Japan year. Everyone is going to Japan, and I hope everyone has a good time and blessed time in Japan. And we're looking forward to hear fun stuff later, maybe from Hudons, and also Mio-san wa inai desu ne, kyou wa. This is the last Sunday before Easter, and so next Sunday we're going to look into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before that, today we'd like to read about the burial of Jesus Christ. So let's read today's scripture, chapter 42. It was preparation day. And preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So Jesus was crucified on Friday. So the Sabbath is Saturday. And it is funny, especially if you buy a little book with calendar in Japan. Some of them starts with Monday. But here, usually it starts with Sunday, because Sunday is the beginning of the week. But I think some Japanese people think Monday is the beginning of the week and Sunday is the last day. But according to the Bible, the first day is Sunday and last day is Saturday, which is Sabbath. And so this is a day before the Sabbath, the Saturday. No, I mean Friday evening. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus, the body, to bury him. And according to the Jewish custom and also from the laws from Old Testament, they are prohibited from working on the day of Sabbath. And in the Jewish culture, the day starts in the evening. So Saturday starts Friday evening. So before Sabbath starts, once Sabbath starts, they cannot do much, because they are not allowed to cook. They are not allowed to walk more than certain distance. And they are not, of course, allowed to touch the body or to bury the body. That's the work. So they cannot do it. So before evening comes, there is one man who came to ask Pilate for Jesus' body to bury him. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. Arimathea is the name of the town, which is about 30 kilometers northwest, I believe, of Jerusalem. And in the Old Testament, this town's name is Ramah, and which is Prophet Samuel's hometown, actually. So it's not too far. So Joseph was from that town, and he was, according to the other gospel, he was a rich man. He was a rich man, and that is why he was able to buy a tomb right away. So he was a rich man, and he was a Jewish, and he was a member of the council, but he was also a follower of Jesus. But he was afraid of other Jews, not other council members, or he did not claim himself that he is a follower of Jesus. But for him, I want to say, according to the other Bible, he was not able to save Jesus from trial, but the gospel recorded that he did not agree to execute Jesus during the council. I just want to share this just for him. So he was afraid, of course, but he was, you know, also faithful. At least more faithful than Jesus' 12 disciples. They all disappeared. They all hidden. But he came to see Pilate to ask for Jesus' body to bury him. And can you imagine how much courage he needed to do it? He might lose his position as a council. He might lose, you know, his, you know, friends. He might be persecuted. He might be killed or put his family in danger by doing this. But he just couldn't leave the body of Jesus on the cross. So this is his faith. So he came to Pilate and asked him to give him the body of Jesus Christ. 44. The Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. He was surprised because Jesus was put on the cross about 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 12 o'clock the sun lost its brightness and got darkened, and at 3 o'clock he screamed and Jesus died on the cross. It only took 6 hours for him to die on the cross. This is unusual because it usually takes a few days to die on the cross. For some people, even a week, it takes long. So only 6 hours cannot be. It's unusual. So this is why Pilate was so surprised. So he wanted to make sure that Jesus actually died. He wanted to confirm. So he called a centurion, the soldier, who was observing, who was monitoring, supervising this execution, and asked him, was he really dead? And centurion said, yes. So when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen clothes, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. So this is how they kind of placed the body after the death back then. Actually, Joseph is not the only man who placed the body of Jesus in the tomb. There was another man with him, and his name was Nicodemus, which is written in, I believe, the Gospel of John. If you can open the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the end of 19. So I just want to leave this part. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of, I don't know how to pronounce this word, myrrh, and aloes, about 75 pounds, which is about 30 kilograms, a lot. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in stripes of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And what I want to say is, they buried Jesus according to the custom of Jews, and they used like 30 kilograms of aloes and all that kind of stuff, and you know, wrapped with linen, with spices. So this burial was not temporary. This was the way they do, and you know, they were not thinking about, you know, moving his body from that place to another place a few days later. This was the final burial. So they did all things needed to do. Then he rolled a stone against entrance of the tomb. And this stone is quite a big stone, and you need a few men to move it. So this is why in chapter 16, the ladies are worried about how we're going to remove the stone, because it was too heavy for them to move. And lastly, Mary the Magdalene and Mary's mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. So these ladies were watching that Jesus was actually in a tomb, and so the men are closing the entrance with this big stone. So today, I just want to share 3 points as usual, what to remember from today's passage. There is 4 Gospels in the Bible by 4 authors, and all books contains this story. The little bit, they are slightly different, but they all have this same story. And this is not really common, because I think only a few episodes are written in all 4 Gospels. Of course, Jesus crucified and resurrection, and also this burial. And of course, the other thing is the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish stories. But not as many stories are written in all 4 Gospels. But this story was written in all 4 Gospels. Why they recorded the burial of Jesus in such details? Okay, Jesus died on the cross, and he resurrected. Why they needed this part in between? And I believe one of the reasons is to insist the complete death of Jesus Christ. So burial of Jesus has each details. The first, that his death was confirmed by centurion who was monitoring, who was supervising, who was, you know, observing all the way through this execution in front of Jesus. So he made sure he died on the cross. He confirmed it. It was confirmed by centurion. And secondly, his death was approved. I mean, his burial was approved by Pilate. So Pilate confirmed this with this centurion and gave permission to Joseph to bury the body. So this is an official permission. Officially, Jesus died on the cross. And number three, the body was actually placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. And number four, the entrance was closed with stone. And number five, it was witnessed by ladies. So all these detailed process was recorded to insist, to let us know Jesus died completely. There is no chance he comes back to life by any chance. He died for sure. There is no chance, no way he could come back to the life. The death of Jesus was confirmed officially and by many people. And this is the one thing we should remember today. And what that means is second point. What that means, the Jesus' complete death, that means complete redemption and forgiveness of our sins. In the book of John, chapter 19, verse 30, on the cross, Jesus shouted, "It is finished." Or it shouted, so maybe I should say louder, but he said, "It is finished." What is finished? His work is finished. Jesus finished and fulfilled his work, which is to forgive our sins with his death. So when Jesus died completely, he finished his work. Therefore, there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is no sin that cannot be cleansed by his death and his blood. Sometimes I hear, and even myself think, you know, or you may be forgiven because your sin is not so much, but my sin is so big and I don't know if I'm really forgiven. But all our sins are already paid. Already paid. But emotionally, sometimes we are hard to believe it. Because I have done so much. Well, maybe if you see some other people, or he or she has done such a bad thing, and just believing Jesus gives him or her the forgiveness, sometimes it's hard to believe. But because Jesus finished his work on the cross, he died completely, that means our sins are all paid, no matter how much sin we have. So we should have our faith not in our own strength of faith, but in Christ who died completely on the cross. Sometimes we tend to see our own faith and we think, you know, I don't have strong enough faith. My faith is weak. I'm weak. So I don't know if I'm really forgiven or if I can really go to heaven. I don't know. I'm worried. But we should put our faith in this complete death of Jesus Christ. Because he died completely, we are all forgiven. We are all forgiven. And lastly, I just want to share one more thing. because his death was complete and perfect. It's kind of strange to say perfect death, but his death was perfect. He died completely. His death was complete. We can believe, we can recognize the power of God in his resurrection. Because his death was complete, we can see the God's power in his resurrection. Even 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died, a few people had rumor that he wasn't actually dead. He was alive, and you know, somebody protected him, and he just showed up later and pretended like he was resurrected. Or some of his disciples stole the body and claimed and pretended like he was resurrected. And even today and always, there is a temptation to find any explanations and reasons to refuse God's power and will in our world. We don't want to believe what we cannot believe. So we try to find a reason and, find stories like somebody stole the body, or actually that Jesus wasn't him, or like that. But all book of Gospels, not only the book of Gospels, but as well as a historical record, an official record, prove and it denies such rumor. He died completely. He was sentenced to death officially. Like these days, it is sad to see some Christian people change the understanding of the Bible so that they don't have to change their thinking or mind. If there is something they don't want to accept, they don't want to believe, instead of changing their heart or mind, they change Bible. They change the understanding of the Bible so that they can accept, so that they can understand and refuse the power of God, believing in the power of God, which is a very sad thing. But we are not like them. Because of his complete death and resurrection from that complete death, we believe the power of God. And this is why we trust him. If somebody stole his body, or he wasn't dead, his death was not complete, and pretended like he was resurrected, what's the point of believing it? There is no power of God. It's meaningless. But because his death was complete, we believe his resurrection was by the power of God. And because this is by the power of God, we have hope. We can have hope. We can live with hope and faith. Next Sunday, we are going to have an Easter service. And we are going to talk about, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know we will have some people who are not, who don't come to church usually. And I know some people might think, this is a kind of fairy tale kind of stuff, like a religion. But let us pray so that all the people who comes here can believe and can witness the power of God and be the children of God like us. 一言お祈りしたいと思います。 Let us pray. 愛する天の父なる神様、あなたがその愛する一人子を私たちの罪の許しのためにこの地上に送ってくださったこと、
また御子イエス・キリストが私たちの罪のために十字架の上で死に、そして三日目によみがえられたこと、このことを信じることができるということはなんと幸いなことでしょうか。このあなたの差し伸べてくださった恵みを信じることができるようにしてくださったのは主よ、あなたの御霊であります。主よ、どうぞこの御霊がこのイースターの時、まだあなたのことを知らない多くの一人一人の魂にどうぞ届けられますように。私たちの命は死で終わらない。私たちの命は主よ、あなたの御手のうちにあり、あなたは永遠に生きる方であり、あなたは誠の神であり、私たちを癒し、また私たちを罪から救い出し、私たちを死からも救うことができる方であることを、一人でも多くの方が心に信じることができますように、そこに表されたあなたの私たちへの計り知れない恵みと愛に、私たち一人一人が今一度心を止め、またその愛をシェアすることができますように、どうぞ助け導いてください。すべてを感謝し、御手に委ね、愛する主イエスキリストの御名によって感謝してお祈りいたします。アーメン。Thank you.